Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, July 26th. Thanks so much for coming back. Day two of our four-day LGBT radio extravaganza here on Left of Straight Radio. Had a fantastic show yesterday, and we got another great one for you today. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be talking to Randy Slovacek from the Randy Report. Such a great blog, talking about all things politics, current events, entertainment, just fantastic stuff. We're going to talk to him all about what's going on in the news today. So much in the news. Of course, I can't believe I'm doing a show right now because of everything going on at the Democratic Convention. You guys know I'm a political junkie from way back, but we got a lot to talk about. And Randy covers it all, so I'm really looking forward to talking to him. And then after that, in our 6 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to the lovely Tara Radcliffe. She's from the Bravo TV show Newlyweds, the first year. Good friends of our friends of the show, Craig Ramsey and Brandon Liberati. So we're going to talk all about how life's been for her after the Newlywed show. She came out as bisexual on the show. She is now has her own business called Pinup Housewife. And it's really a lot of cool stuff. So it's going to be a show for you today. So I'm looking forward to it all. Before we get started, I want to give a big shout out to Alexander Rodriguez, our media partner here at Left of Straight Show. His show On the Rocks is always after ours on Tuesday nights. He's on at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time. He's having a blast from the past tonight. Corey Feldman's on his show tonight. So that's going to be kind of a fun. So a couple hours after my show, you want to tune into Alexander right on UBN Radio, our partner radio station there. That would be fantastic. There was news today that a good friend of the show, David Cruz, of Millionaire Matchmaker fame, and also his Finding Cupid website, he was engaged back in June 2015. I think he was in our show in February, and he set his wedding date for this coming January 28th to his husband. So we want to do congratulations. I actually just talked to David about 2 weeks ago. We're going to have him back on the show now that Millionaire Matchmaker has started its new season on the WE Network. So we'll have him on really soon and talk all about wedding and that kind of fun stuff. So much today. I think I will hold off on all of the convention stuff till Randy gets here. As you might or might not know, I've been doing banking here at the house. Mom and I, every Tuesday night, right after the show here, they're actually coming in about 10 minutes here. About 5:30, we do phone banks here for Hillary Clinton volunteers. And we've been doing that for the last 4 weeks now. We'll be doing that every week until it'll kind of switch from we're getting volunteers right now, then it'll switch to canvassing and all sorts of fun stuff. So that happens every Tuesday night at my house. And this Saturday, Hillary's coming to my neck of the woods, coming to town. And hopefully we're going to get good seats since we've been doing all this phone banking stuff. But she'll be at East High School in Youngstown, Ohio this Saturday. As soon as the convention ends, she's taking a bus tour. She's going to go to Pittsburgh, I believe. She's going to go to someplace else in mid-Pennsylvania. I forget where. Then Pittsburgh, then here to Youngstown, then out to Columbus area. So going to be a little whirlwind tour by him and her and Tim Kaine. So I'm looking forward to seeing both of them on the road. If you have a chance, I was very honored today. I got to be on Dr. Marissa Pay's show. She is known as the Asian Oprah on UBN Network. Her show is called Get Balanced or Take My Advice. I'm not using it anyway. She interviewed myself and out transgender actor Scott Turner Schofield, very good friend of mine in the show here. He was on The Bold and the Beautiful, the very first transgender actor on a daytime soap opera. And she had both of us on, and she talked about her – she does a monthly sexuality show. And this is the first time she's really talked about gay issues. So very proud to be on her at noon. You can always catch a replay at www.ubn.com/radio and check us out on there. But, guys, I'm really looking forward to talking to Randy in just a couple of moments. I'm going to go ahead and get him on the line now. Stay tuned here. I'm going to play a little bit of our good friend Garrett Miller, also a media sponsor here. He's got his Sweat and Testify song out. The new video is out not too long ago. Such a great song. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back with Randy Slovacek from The Randy Report in just a couple of minutes. He'll be back in just a sec.
Bye.
And there you have it. Our good friend Garrett Miller, also a media sponsor for the show here, with his Sweat and Testify. Guys, I'm so excited to have our first guest today. He started his career on the other side of the lights, camera, and action, primarily in theater, where he was in Chicago, Hello Dolly, Follies, and my personal favorite, A Chorus Line. He continues to direct and choreograph regional theater productions regularly. And then in 2011, he flipped the script, so to speak, and started his own hugely successful blog for LGBT community called The Randy Report. He's still keeping us up to date on politics, entertainment, and current events. And you can also catch him on the companion radio right here on Blog Talk Radio from time to time. Please welcome to the show the amazing Randy Slovacek. Randy, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for that awesome introduction. Much appreciated.
Oh, very, very earned. Very earned, my friend. How you doing today?
I'm great. Well, I'm just in the middle of all of this week with the DNC going on in Philadelphia. As you mentioned, with the Randy Report, I cover topics of interest to the LGBT community, including politics, pop culture, and entertainment. And so between last week, where we saw all of that stuff going on in your state there in Cleveland, and now we've got this so far, a terrific convention in Philadelphia. There have been a few hiccups or bumps or something along the way, but I think we're doing pretty good tonight. There's going to be some excitement in the next few hours. Actually, I have my TV on mute. I'm not splitting my attention, but I am just watching to see how they go, because they're about to start the roll call of states in the nominating process to nominate Hillary Clinton as president. But as you know, they want to go through the Bernie Sanders people want to hear his name said out loud and his number of delegates, and Hillary's people want to hear. So they're going to go through that process over the next couple of hours. You know, every state likes to step up and go, the Buckeye State, Ohio, home of,
right.
You know, they all want to go through that. So they're all very proud. So we'll see how that plays out in the next couple of hours.
Exactly. We'll keep our little side eye on that while we talk here, because we, you know,
yeah,
we're both political junkies. We have a lot to talk about in there, but let's start at the very beginning.
I mean, you grew up in Texas.
There was you, your brother, and your dad, and you know, your mother passed away when you were very young. Very sorry to hear that. But how does a young man who also happens to be gay kind of grow up to be on Broadway from Texas and an out and proud blogger? That's kind of cool.
Wow, you really did your research. I love you for that. Yeah, I think from a very early age, I started performing. Years later, as an adult, I finally reflected on probably I wanted someone to pay attention to me and like me. And I think I remember the first memory I have about performing was being like 5 years old in Fort Worth, Texas. And Donny Osmond was about my age, and he was with the Osmonds, and he was very popular. And I think years later I realized everybody liked Donny Osmond because he was cute and he was talented. So maybe if I was talented, people would like me too. I mean, not to get too deep, but I think I kind of figured that out. You know, people wonder, why do people become performers? I also really enjoyed it. And so at a very young age, I liked singing. And I think at the age of 10, I joined the Texas Boys Choir, and with it, which is one of the greatest boys choir in the world, according to Tchaikovsky. And
nice.
I traveled across the entire country. At the age of 12, I was on a bus and truck tour of America, singing concerts with the Texas Boys Choir, and I loved it. I loved it. I loved being on stage. I loved music. And then I got to high school, and long story short, through music, I ended up in my first musical, which was Gypsy, one of the greatest musicals ever written. And suddenly we realized, you know, there was choreography, and I picked it up really well. It was just kind of, I wish I could say, oh, I worked for this really hard. And I did go to dance class a lot. I worked really hard. But it was kind of a gift that I went, oh, wow. And people noticed it. And I also liked acting a whole lot. It was really more about acting. And so one thing led to another. And next thing you know, I'm off to Syracuse University in upstate New York as a music theater major. And, you know, my dad was so amazing because he just supported whatever I wanted to do. He was a staunch Republican in a business sense. There we lived in Texas, and he owned his own business. He'd been a huge athlete at the University of Texas. He'd been quarterback of the football team. He set track records that stood for decades. And you would think, oh, and I was a cheerleader in high school and college. So that I mentioned that because, you know, I wasn't a football player. I wasn't a track runner. I didn't play basketball. I didn't play baseball. But he just supported whatever I did. And he was really awesome about that. He may not have understood it fully, but whatever I wanted to do, he was down with. And so when I auditioned at a lot of colleges, and I went to SMU in Dallas and tons of colleges. But I wanted to be a music theater major. And at the time, we kept asking, where's the best music theater program in the country? And at the time, everyone kept saying Syracuse University. So as my dad was leaving on a skiing trip in like March of, I guess it was 1981, wherein I graduated from high school, I said, I have to go to an audition. And at this point, he was used to me auditioning for things. He goes, well, go, son. And I said, well, it's in Syracuse, New York. And he's like, what? And he's like packing the car to go to the airport. And he said, just charge it, son. Just charge it. I think I had a credit card of visitors. And so I flew off to Syracuse, got my degree in musical theater. And next thing you know, I moved directly to New York. That was the plan the whole time. I moved there with practically no money. I lied and got a table waiting job. I don't condone lying, but you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, I was waiting tables on the Upper East Side and living in a dreadful little we used to refer to our apartment. I moved there with my best friend, and we used to refer to our tiny six-floor walk-up apartment as the ghetto because it was really hideous. It was just terrible. I don't want anyone to live there. But and it took about a year, and then finally I got my first big job with a brand new national company of cats, Now and Forever. I now joke. I was a principal and everything. I was the magical Mr. Mistopheles. And I joke today, I don't get to say this joke very often now, but I joke that, you know, I did Cats back when it was a good credit, because a lot of people have done it now. When I did it, only three people had done my role in the United States when I was cast as the magical Mr. Mistopheles. But now it's being revived on Broadway. I'm going to see it in 2 weeks. I'm covering it, and I'm going to interview the guy playing my role in the Broadway revival, Ricky Ubeda, who won So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's awesome, and so the producers arranged for me to come see the show, and I'm going to interview him, and as one Mistopheles to another 30 years apart, what it's like to be in Cats and stuff like that. But, yeah, for long years, I toured with Broadway shows. I toured with 42nd Street, as I call it, A Chorus Line, Cats, several shows, and then Hello, Dolly! Was my first Broadway show. It happened kind of like by an accident. They'd been cast for like 3 months. This is the Broadway revival with Carol Channing back in. We hit Broadway in 1995, but this is in 94. And they'd been cast for 3 months, and then they lost a guy who got a job on Broadway because the show was going to tour for about 9 months. And so I went to this audition. There were 120 guys there, and halfway through the audition, they said, the rumor came around that the guy's dancing, going, oh, you know, well, so-and-so got this job, and that's who they're replacing. So they started building the costumes, and, he, you know, he's 6'2". Well, I'm not even close to 6'2". So I'm like, well, I'm not getting this. But long story short, out of 120 guys, they got down to like 15 of us, and then they called me an hour later, and I was cast 3 days before they went into rehearsals. And that's how I got my first Broadway show, which is kind of cool.
That is awesome. With the amazing Carol Channing. Now, you got to tell me the story because I read it, and I want to hear about the lovely Carol Channing. She finds you in the shower because she's decided that she's going to save you from falling to the orchestra pit. Talk about the story. It's hilarious.
I love that you picked up on it. Yeah, I adore Carol. I have to say this up front. I spent 2.5 fabulous years with her on tour on Broadway. And when the tour went back out, I didn't stage the pre-Broadway or the Broadway company, but when the tour went back out, Leroy Reams, who directed our company, asked me to stage the show for the post-Broadway tour. This is about 6 months later. And so I go out as the dance captain, and I'm in the show because Carol Stu wants me on stage because she likes to see familiar faces on stage. And I was the production supervisor. So one point, and this had turned into, towards the end of the tour, it was seriously bus and truck. We were like doing split weeks, like 3 days in a city. And one day we took two planes and a bus to get to Champaign, Illinois. I remember that. And we were performing like for 2 days in what Carol called a soccer arena. It was some sports facility in downtown Champaign, Illinois. And we've been traveling all day, and like we've gotten there just in time to do a sound check that you always have to do. We're figuring out where entrances and exits are. There's this built-up stage of platforms. It's not really a stage, but it's platforms. It's all okay. But the lights are all up. And Carol, at one point during the Hello, Dolly! Number, four boys, including me, jumped over the pit to the passerelle, which is the walkway that surrounds the orchestra pit. And gotcha. It's been done this way since 1964 when the show won 10 Tony Awards. It's always been done this way. I was the guy right next to her. So I remember in rehearsals when they staged this, I remember thinking, it's like when I do West Side Story and I was a young dancer and I go, don't give me the basketball, don't give me the basketball, don't give me the basketball, because if you give me a basketball on stage, I will throw it in the pit. Come hell or high water. I will be the one to throw it in the pit. So in my head, I'm seeing what they're about to stage with someone jumping over the pit and landing at Carol's feet. Hello, Dolly. So, of course, they pick me to do it. And I'm like, oh, shoot. And it really is the pit. So on Broadway and on tour, you know, the musicians were in the pit like 20 feet down. And I'll never forget teching the show when we started in Denver, Colorado. And, like, the four guys and I, we it's one thing when it's tape on the floor, but there's really a floor there. When you're actually jumping over this pit, and it was like about 8 feet that we had to jump over. So this kind of like a long jump almost. But you had to jump not only across, but you had to jump up so you come down. Because if you jump too far forward with too much momentum, you'd like fall into the audience. So it was a thing. Anyway, so all these years later now, we're in Champaign, and Carol looks down during soundcheck and goes, well, look at that. That's way far down there. Yeah. Well, that's dangerous. And so I think she said something to me in passing, and I said, no, well, Carol, that's the way it's always been. It will be fine. So I go to take a shower. It's half hour. We've just barely done soundcheck. I go to take a shower in this soccer arena. You know, it's like open locker room showers.
Right,
our dressing
right.
room is like a locker room. And Carol comes looking for me, and she comes to the boys' dressing room, and she goes, where's Randy? And all the boys know exactly what is about to happen. So they just all in unison point to the door leading to the showers. So I'm in the showers.
Oh,
I'm like all wet. I'm like soaked up. I'm just standing under the hot water. I've got a show in 30 minutes. I just want to get a second wind for this show. And in the middle of me with my eyes shut and all this soap, I hear, Randy. And you have to picture me like covering myself, and I just turned as one unit, and there's Carol Channing standing with me in the shower. I'm completely naked, wearing only soap. And she starts going into this whole concern about the pit. And she goes, well, Randy, I think it's just dangerous. And we should do is we should put a net under the stage. I just think it's dangerous. What are the boys going to do?
Oh my goodness.
Standing there, the water's running down me, and I just said, Carol, I'll handle it, I promise. But right now I'm a little, and I just gestured, and I'm like, I'm a little wet. And she looks me up and down, takes a second, and just goes, oh, well, we're all just show folk. It's okay. Anyway, and she just dismisses my nakedness, goes on about her thing, and she finally walked out. And I walked into the boys' dressing room, and I don't know what kind of language we can use here, but I just turned to all the boys and like, you bitches, you knew what you were doing. But, I mean, Carol was just wonderful to us the entire time. She really was. Opening on Broadway, if you're going to have an opening night, your first Broadway show, I can tell you, doing the opening number of Hello, Dolly, Call on Dolly, and being on stages, she came out, and we sing Call On, and she said, Jolly Levi. And the audience just jumped to its feet. It was awesome. She came down those stairs for the Hello, Dolly number, a huge standing ovation for 5 minutes. And then the New York Times gave us a rave review that night at the opening night party. And I just think, if you ever want to have a really good opening night on Broadway, what I got was definitely worth the wait. It was pretty awesome.
That is amazing. I love that
story. I love
story.
That you found
oh
that story.
Oh, my God. I would trade Carol Channing's place in a minute. I'm telling you. Oh, that's funny. I love that.
She's awesome. She is. She's awesome.
That is so cool. Now, did you only do Chorus Line touring, or were you actually on stage in Broadway for Chorus Line?
I did have one night on Broadway. They did a benefit production performance at the Schubert. I did two national tours of A Chorus Line as Mark, the youngest, which Byron Lee staged. So I toured for
right.
1 year in 1989 with Donna McKechnie, the original Tony Award winner, who's just one of the dearest people. We became very close, and I actually learned Cassie dance from her, the music in the mirror. And so now when I stage the show, which I've done about 9 times, I explain the thing to people, because the dance is actually a whole acted monologue that you dance, and I learned it from Donna. She took the time to pull me aside. And actually, during sound checks, when we were on tour at the Chorus Line, We do different parts of the show so that the sound man can get a sense of the new theater, and we do solos, we do group stuff. They want to hear the orchestra. So Donna would always sing Music in the Mirror, and then they would play through Music in the Mirror, the dance, because that's a big orchestral thing. It would give the sound man a thing. So Donna would have me, though, she would sing the song, and she would ask me, with the cast in the audience, to dance the dance in sound check.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, which is kind of funny.
That's funny.
But so I actually learned the number from her. But one time they were doing a benefit performance for Joe Papp, who created and was the founder of the Public Theater, where A Chorus Line began. And they didn't have a Bobby, who was created, the role was created by my dear friend Tommy Walsh, who I miss every day. And they called me and asked if I would come down and play Bobby that night. And so I did do one performance of A Chorus Line on Broadway as Bobby, with a lot of the original cast members who showed up to honor Joe Papp. But for the most part, I did the national tour twice for BioWork, and then I went on to – I've directed and choreographed it many, many times, and I never tire of revisiting it. As a matter of fact, I think it was 2 years ago, I staged it in The Round in Sacramento, which was a whole exercise in creativity because, you know, it is called a chorus line. Yeah, it was an exercise in creativity, but because we have to do things so fast at Sacramento Music Circus, they actually had me just choreograph, and they hired Stafford Arima, who directed this past year's musical Allegiance on Broadway, starring George Takei, and he and I worked together really, really well, but it was like a deconstructed A Chorus Line. But I've never grown tired of revisiting the piece. I love it. You can't ever have been a dancer or an actor and not relate to what it says. And even just as a human being, the whole point of it is we all just want to be approved of. We've all gone to job applications, and we want the job. We want someone to say, you're good enough, you're hired. Quite the opposite of what Donald Trump kind of practices today, now that I think about it. Anyway.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Chorus Line has always been one of my favorite. I've always loved it, and oh, that's awesome. I love the stories for it. And Bobby has some of the great throwaway lines. So his lines are so funny in it, too, so that would be kind of a fun for you.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love his monologue. I eventually grew up to play Bobby several times. It was like when you play Mark, who's the youngest on the line, you kind of, if you're going to stay with the show, you either grow up to be like a Mike who does I Can Do That, or you're a Bobby who does his funny monologue about growing up in upstate New York near Buffalo. But no, I was glad to grow up and become a Bobby, and also to get to know Tommy, who was so dear to me.
That's great. I didn't even think about that, if you stay with the show for a while, you would kind of merge those other characters. I had Nick Adams on. He was one of my first guests, like my second month on.
I love
just
Nick.
Enthralled
we did
by
Chicago
him
together.
Priscilla. Did you really? Oh, he's just amazing. And I really wanted to talk to him because there was all that big hullabaloo about him and Mario Lopez in Chorus Line. But I never wanted to ask him that because I thought that'd be rude to ask. But I just think he is amazing. That's so cool. You guys got to work together. That's great.
Yeah, he. I won't tell a long story about it, but I did Chicago the Musical off and on Broadway, all the national touring companies. I did the international touring company, and I think after the movie was such a big hit, they put the tour back out. They'd closed both tours because they'd been so successful, but the show had been running a long time at that point. Now it's all these years later. But in 2003, they put the tour back out, and I went out as a swing finally because I'd done every role in the show at this point except Bobby Flynn, Billy Flynn. But I'd done every role, and to be honest with you, I was more interested in being a swing and knowing the show and seeing the nuts and bolts because directing and choreographing is so much what I do now. So I like to understand it all, and also it was more interesting. I'd been on stage every night in Chicago as Aaron. I had been the district attorney on Broadway, so I was happy to go out as a swing. And when I left in 2004, I just didn't want to tour anymore. And I said, but if you guys ever need me, obviously I know the show and I can jump in a day. And so about 2 years later, they called me like three or four times and I'd go out for a month. And they called me and someone had a movie. And so the guy playing the jury was away. And so they flew me out on Tuesday. I saw the show that night. It was Austin, Texas, I think. And Nick was swinging the show. He was new to the show. He'd only been with it like a month, and he was swinging. So he went on that night as a jury, and he was terrific. And the next day I kind of walked through the show and went in, and then I spent about a month with them. And Nick was still swinging, and he was a great guy to get to know. I just saw him like some time ago here in Las Vegas at the Smith Center. He was touring with Wicked, and he was awesome as Fierro. What a great guy.
Right,
terrific talent.
Oh yeah, I fantastic guy too. He's just
it's
a really nice guy.
It's unfortunate if you see him face to face though, it's hard to look at him because he is so very ugly. I mean, let's face it.
Yes, exactly.
If you've seen the pictures,
and he needs to work. On occasion, if he'd work out, it might be a little better, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. For the listeners who may not know, we're being a little facetious because Nick is absolutely a gorgeous, handsome man who has the body of doom. And so we all just look at Nick and go, wow, and you're talented. It's just not fair.
It's like,
but he's
him,
awesome.
And his boyfriend, Kyle. I mean, they're both like sculpting in marble or something. It's just like,
yeah.
Something's not right here. Just how do these two people find each other even? Goodness.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of finding each other, before you leave New York, you actually met your husband, Michael, in New York, didn't you? Where did you guys meet?
I was on tour with Hello Dolly. She was a matchmaker even in real life. I was touring with Hello Dolly before Broadway, and we were recording our cast recording because they wanted to record Carol Channing revisiting her legendary cast recording. And also, Jerry Herman wanted the show recorded because he really didn't care so much for the original cast album because while it was a great cast, they were hired more for their acting than their singing. And our cast were really amazing singers. Flo Lacey was our Irene Malloy, who was absolutely stellar. And Michael DeVries was our Cornelius. And across the board, we had this great singing cast. And also, because back in the day, they had to edit things for an album to fit stuff onto just an album. With CDs, they could put a lot more things on. So Jerry wanted to have more of the dance music on there. He wanted fuller versions of all the songs. So we recorded our cast recording at Paisley Park outside of Minneapolis. But while we were still on tour before we went into Broadway. And that was on October 17th, 1994. I know it because that was the day I met my husband, Michael Caprio, who was the 25-year-old vice president of publicity for Verez Serraband Records at the time. And he had flown
Amazing.
Out with the producer, and he was overseeing camera crews from CNN and Entertainment Tonight and all this because they were recording Carol Channing back in the studio, re-recording Hello Dolly. And the short version of the story, I could tell it all day long, but the short version is I knew I liked him the minute I saw him across the crowded room, and apparently he did too. My best friend on tour was dating our company publicist. And
okay.
So I said to my best friend, John, I said, oh, I think he's so cute. I think he's so cute. Because Michael was like way cute. He is very handsome. And so John went to his boyfriend, Dennis, and he said, well, what do you know about this guy? Because Dennis was working with Michael on this stuff that day. And Dennis said, well, he's a nice guy. I know him from Broadway. Because Michael had worked on Broadway as a publicist, like when he was 20 years old. He's a wonder kid. And Dennis goes, well, I do know that he really likes Randy Slavacek. So my friend John comes back and goes, go talk to him. Go talk to him. Go talk to him.
Wow.
So I was shy. I didn't. So it took like all day just for us to even say hello. And we did have a drink that night. That was all. We went out for a drink, and we spoke every day for the next year and a half, long distance. And a year to the day, we opened on Broadway. I gave him a ring, and finally in 2003, I was on tour with Chicago the Musical. It was our 9th anniversary, and we got married in Toronto on October 17th because I used to be blonde, and I can only keep one date in my head. So we met on October 17th. I gave him a ring on October 17th, and we got married on October 17th. Now, I'll never forget at least October 17th. So
I love it. That's so cool and romantic, and Dolly Levi comes again. I love
it. She works her magic even off the stage. So to this day, I thank – and Jerry Herman was well aware of this. I got to know Jerry very well. And I've said to him many times, like, thank God you wrote Hello, Dolly, or I'd still be single. So we've now been together 22 and a half years. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Congratulations. That is awesome. All right, let's take a real short break here. We'll go ahead and keep it in the theater mode, play a little bit from our Tony Award-winning friend Levi Christ. It'll so much better. It'll give us a chance to look at the roll calls going here. You guys are listening to the amazing Randy Slovacek here from the Randy Report right here on Left to Straight Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Take an afternoon drive. I've been working too hard. I wanna leave it all behind me, pushing and pulling. Yeah, the world keeps spinning around and around, but I go with the flow. Nobody's gonna get me down. You got to tell a secret about the way that love's gonna be. It's a super sexy, gorgeous, cosmological ecstasy. Get a hold of me. Just stop and take a look around. Let your body unwind. You see, you got everything you want. You just gotta open up your eyes. Sing it. Holding on to something when there's nothing that you can do to change it. Just let it go with the flow. Get about your business doing you. Make it all mystery. Oh, it's a super sexy, conscious, cosmological ecstasy. Get it hold of me. And it's all much better, so much better now. Baby love, don't you know that it's all much better, so much better now. Feel good to let it go. And it's all much better, so much better now. Baby love, don't you know that it's all much better, so much better now. And it feels good to let it go. Yeah, yeah, feels good to let it go. Make it on easy street. It's a super sexy, conscious, cosmological ecstasy. Get a hold of me.
And we are back. That is Levi Christ, Tony winner for Million Dollar Quartet. Our guest today is the amazing Randa Slovacek. Randy, how are you? Are we having fun yet?
I am. I love it. I have to tell you, I'm a huge fan of Levi Christ. I think he's awesome.
Oh, he's amazing.
On the Randy Report. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I featured him on the Randy Report, the blog, several times. And back when I was hosting the Candy and Randy show here on Blog Talk Radio, we, like you, I like to focus on a lot of out musicians and
right.
artists of different stripes. And we loved featuring out musicians like Levi and Tom Goss and Justin Utley and Matt Zarley and Dave Koz. And so I love when they're that awesome.
That is so cool. And I love that you interviewed Dave Koz. I've wanted to get him on. I've tried so hard to get him on, and I just don't have really an in for that. But we have a really weird history. His mom, I went back in the day, speaking of restaurants back in the day,
yeah.
I was a restaurant business for 20 years. And one of my first jobs was as a server at this restaurant called Bobby McGee's, where everyone kind of dressed up as fictional characters. And I ended up waiting on his mom and dad. They would come in. They didn't live too far out. And they would come in. They brought him in one day and said, oh, you have to meet my son. He is so nice. Had no idea he was gay at the time. Brought him in, met him, had him for dinner. I was managing then at the time. And he invited me to like some moonlight cafe or something in right on Reseda Boulevard in LA to perform sometime. And oh, I've always awesome. Wanted to back up since because I just love his music. He is amazing.
Yeah, he really is. And he's an awesome guy, actually. Because of my husband being to book in the end of that story about my husband left the record company and he started his own entertainment public relations company. And Dave Cause, his record – we knew Dave for several years. And Dave Cause was part owner of a record label that recorded smooth jazz artists. And Dave hired Michael to do press for several of his artists. And so we've gotten to work with him professionally, but also personally we've gotten to know Dave. And he's an awesome, awesome guy. And his talent's off the charts.
Yeah, it's just amazing. That's so cool. And we talked to so many similar people. It's funny. I think we have a lot of same interests and everything through Levi and through – I mean, I know Michael worked for Olivia Newton-John, and then I have Del Shores is a very good friend for all the Sorted Live people. So they all kind of – everyone intersects somewhere in the entertainment industry. It's really funny. I love how that works out.
Absolutely. It's a very small world.
Let's go on and talk about a couple of things. Let's talk a little bit about your show. You have your blog – you started the blog. Which came first, the radio blog when you were with Candy?
Let me think.
Blog started around 2011, right?
January 2011. And so I think the blog started first, I believe. Gosh, it's like right around the same. I can't even – I'm so smart about some things, but I can't think of it. I think I was blogging first. I started the Randy Report and as a blog. And it was one of those things where I was always the kind of guy that when someone had to write a letter to a company or for some cause, I was the guy that everybody's friends like, well, Randy, you write the letter because you write good. You write well. Good. Listen to me. Yeah, I write really good. English is my first language. So, but I liked writing, and I'd written some personal essays, and I read a few blogs. At the time, I was reading every single day. I still do Joe My God, Joe Jervis, who I've met since then, but joemygod.com, who's one of – he's like – just the uber Wonder Man of blogging for LGBT issues. And I was reading Toll Road every day, and I thought, well, I want to write some things. And so Michael said, why don't you start a blog? And all I could picture was, oh, so just you and I will be the only two people to read it, and that'll be kind of pathetic, Randy. Oh, my God, no. But I started the blog, and I posted about my father, I think, first. I wrote something because my father had recently passed away. And I started blogging every day, and at the end of the first month, I think I had like 300 or 400 visits, which kind of blew me away. I'm like, 300 or 400 hits? Wow, who are these people?
That's awesome.
And now I have over 100,000 visits a month, sometimes 150,000. And I really appreciate all these people that come to the Randy Report every day. Yeah, I can see that I have like a core of people, and it's really heartening because I appreciate what all other people do with their blogs. And the great thing about blogs, whether you're gay or straight or whether it's entertainment or politics or something, you get to put your own spin on these thoughts. It's I should say this correctly. Since I began the blog, I've studied journalism, and I'm very aware of that. I don't want to be one of those guys who just like puts crap out there and just puts my opinion out there and tries to color it as truth. I really do try and get to the facts of things. But it is within my spin of thing, my how I view the world. But I am big on facts. I really hate when I see stuff online that when people share a meme on Facebook, for instance, and it suits their political leaning or whatever, but it's not true. They don't bother to check it to see if it really happened
right,
or if it's really true. And I check all those things. I'm sure you do too, and it's important. So where some blogs, basically people just kind of put their own thoughts out there, I really do treat this as a journalistic endeavor, and I'm a member of the National NLGJ, National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association, and which I'm going to the convention in like two or three weeks. But I do treat this as journalism, and I want to get it right. I get to have my opinion because it's a blog, but I do get my facts right, and that's very important to me. And
right.
And about six, I think maybe it was like 6 or 8 months after I started, Candy Fox, who is my co-host on the Candy and Randy show, interviewed me about being on Broadway. She was a big fan of Carol Channing, so she lived for the Carol Channing stories. Ah, Carol, still giving the gift. And a few months later, she was looking for a co-host, and I thought, well, I'd like to do that. You may have noticed I like to talk. And,
no. Us people like to talk? Who would have thought, right? Radio people?
And so it kind of worked out, and I enjoyed it. We did it for 2.5 years, and we had people. We had Olivia Newton-John on. We had John Sicada, Vanessa Williams, Donny Osmond, Melissa Manchester, people from Broadway like Judith Light and Elaine Page and Billy Porter and Betty Buckley, directors from Broadway, Kathleen Marshall, Chris Catelli, Del Shore. We had like reality people. We had authors on. I loved it. I really did. I loved giving voice to these people. I personally, at the time, Candy, who's very, very LGBT friendly, and she's an awesome person. Candy hadn't done a whole lot with. Oh, we had the cast of Where the Bears Are back when Where the Bears was just taking off. We had all those guys on. We loved it. We had some great stuff, and Candy was all open to this. So we really helped, like you have, to give a voice to an exposure to a lot of LGBT artists and people and points of view that I think is important to get out there. I enjoyed it. And
that's
then I took
awesome.
I
love
the story.
That.
I took like a year off. I was a little burned out because you know you've been on the air about a year now, haven't you?
Yeah, just a little over, barely. Uh huh.
Man, congratulations! That's awesome.
Thank you.
And look at all the research you do. I was producing a lot of our segments with a lot of the celebrities and stuff, and it's a lot of work to get this done. And plus to schedule out your time, because I still have the Randy Report, the blog every day, and I'm doing stuff, and I'm still directing theater and stuff. So to commit for 2.5 years, we were on twice a week. And to commit to that and be there and everything, I really honored the commitment. And finally, I turned to Candy one day and I said, I think I'm a little burned out. And it had nothing to do with her. I just didn't know that I had much to offer for the time. So I stepped out for about a year and a half. And then about almost a year ago, I launched the Randy Report radio show here on Blog Talk Radio to kind of be a companion piece to the blog. And so I really cover just LGBT stuff and political issues, and it's me and whatever guest I have. I've had Candy on as a guest, and I love having her, but I really enjoy doing it. I really like giving people the exposure.
That is great, and you're so good at it. And I don't know how you're so prolific. How do you do? You break so many stories a day. Start auto-posting, or do you just, as they come up, I mean, some of them are breaking news, obviously, so how often do you have to go into your little computer? Do you do it from the phone? Do you do it from your home? How do you do this so much work?
That is such a good question. I have to tell you, I don't do any auto-posting at all. I know that there are people who can do that. There's some way to set things up to search for things and that they'll do that. The closest
to
topic,
I don't know how you could.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard of this. I know there are websites that do like RSS feed, really simple syndication, where they just pick up other people's and it gets fed into their blog. I know our media outlet here in Las Vegas, Q Vegas Magazine, does an RSS feed on their website. So, but they pull from several different bloggers and news outlets. I'm one of them. But no, I am up at 5 in the morning every single day. I am not a morning person, but Bruno the Wonder Dog insists that I am because it's time to eat at 5 in the morning. So Bruno thumps his tail and it's time to get up. And so I feed him. I make my way to my computer by 6 at the latest. And because news is breaking on the East Coast, I'm West Coast time, news is breaking on the East Coast, and it's kind of like being a stockbroker, except I don't make as much money. I have to be a part of the news. By 9 a.m. East Coast time, 6 a.m. my time, you've got to be in it. And a lot of what I do is entertainment news. A lot of what I do is politics. It's all from a perspective of LGBT news. And so I'm at my computer pretty much from 6 in the morning until 4 or 5 in the evening at my desk all day long. And even on the weekends, I spend at least 3 or 4 hours on Saturdays and Sundays. I haven't missed a day in 4 or 5 years. The one thing I can say, there is a little cheat. Sometimes if there's if I'm traveling, because I'm on blogspot.com, blogger.com with my blog, I can set things to pre-schedule if it's something that's not of a timely nature. So I can, like, if it's covering the release of a new album by Andra Day or some LGBT artist, things that aren't a part of the actual current news cycle, I can post those. So when I'm traveling, like if I went to Australia a few years ago, and, you know, it's like a 20-hour flight, and I was like, oh, I can't go like a whole day without posting. Like, I was going through withdrawals, And so I would post things. I could set things to post, but it always had to be something that I would like build these things up over a week, and I knew that they had to be things that weren't necessarily too timely. But yeah, it's
awesome. It's an awesome blog. I mean, I just can't recommend it enough. Now, have you ever had the thing? I mean, Michael's been very big in public. Have you guys ever had a conflict thing where you've wanted to write about something pop culture that had something to do with him? Have you ever had to have a conversation about anything? Those paths never crossed.
That's a very good question. I think actually we have. There have been a couple of times where I probably wanted to post about something, and it might have been something that would conflict or compete. Not compete, but I think there's probably been something where I thought, and I talked to him about it, that it would be kind of not on the up and up for me to report on, because I am very public about Michael, because I write about Michael, and if he's in trouble, the world knows. And but people know that Michael is a publicist, and they know who his clients are. So I think it's possible. I can't remember the last time something like that came up, but I think there probably has been where I thought
I was just interesting thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, we only have 10 minutes left, and we've got to go to politics, but I do want your very first blog post talking about your dad, and you had like a full circle moment with your dad. Your dad, bless his heart, lived to 91 years old. That's why I started the show, because my dad passed away last year, and I was taking care of him at the time. But talk about your aha moment with him, where you kind of had a full circle moment with your dad real quick, and then we'll go into politics for the last 5 minutes.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to say something in my first blog post to tell the world kind of who I am. I thought I should let you know something about me personally. And I didn't know I didn't know I was going to write about my dad. I just kind of started writing about me, and my it was kind of still fresh that my dad had passed away about some time before. And I spoke at my dad's funeral. I was actually, when my father passed away, I was on vacation in Puerto Vallarta in Mexico. And I had not been to Mexico since I was a small child. My mother passed away when I was 5, and my dad used to take us on family vacations. And he took us to Mexico when we were really little. And I think I was like 7 years old or 8 years old, and my brother was 2.5 years older. And at one point, I remember we were on the beach, and they were parasailing. And I was afraid of everything, Scott. I was the most scared little kid.
Yeah.
About everything. And long story short, that my dad put my brother, who was like 10 years old, in this parasailing thing. He goes up in the air. I'm standing there horrified. I mean, today I think it's super cool. But back then I was horrified. They couldn't get my brother down because he was so little, he didn't weigh enough. So with the breeze, they couldn't get him down. And when they finally got Gary down onto the beach, my dad turned to me and said, "You're next." And I went screaming up the beach. I was just horrified. I was so afraid of everything. So fast forward, the day my dad passes away, I was in Mexico with friends for the first time since that time, and we had just gone zip lining through the jungle. I was literally hundreds of feet off of the floor of the jungle in Mexico. It was the coolest thing. I loved it. I'm very adventurous today. I remember when I was in CATS one time, one of my fellow cast members got in a fight with her boyfriend, and I remember Debbie Genevieve like was in a fight right next to me with her boyfriend, and she said, "You know, I'm not afraid of anything." And I remember this phrase stuck out. "I'm not afraid of anything." And I thought, God, I love the way that sounds. I'm not afraid of anything. And so in that moment years ago, I went, "I'm not afraid of anything. I'm just going to decide I'm not afraid of anything." And so that was really profound for me. So there I was, ziplining through the jungle in Mexico, and my brother calls me, and he said, "Dad's gone." And at 91, you know, we kind of knew that this was going to come at some point. And so I had to speak at his funeral, and I couldn't think of anything to say except to tell that story. And I think it's a parent's job to prepare you for life, to get you there, to make you ready to face life. And all I could think of to say was tell that story. And then I turned to my dad's coffin, and I touched it, I put my hand on it, and I just said, "Good job."
That is so beautiful, man. That was awesome. I love that story. So
cool.
Because
that's what I thought he had done it. I wasn't afraid. I'm not afraid. I can honestly say that I'm not afraid of anything. And I think that helps me with the Randy Report and expressing myself and standing up for LGBT rights and everything. I got all of that courage from my dad, and I thank him every day for that.
That is awesome. Such a great tribute. Love that, man. All right, well, we got 5 minutes left here. We're in the middle of a roll call now. I just had Indiana on where they had Fire Pence, which I absolutely loved, which you probably saw on the TV there. But that was a great little poster to see. So talk about this whole political convention. We had the Republican one, of course, like you said, right here in my backyard of good old Cleveland, Ohio. And that was kind of a mess, but they finished it on a relatively high note with Mr. Negativity there. What do you see in the comparison so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing, well, last night, if you're watching the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, what I thought, I'll be honest, I'm a Hillary supporter, but I would have easily voted for Bernie Sanders. I have to say that up front.
Right.
I think there is not a lot of daylight between them, and I think that's very important. You know, Bernie supporters feel very strongly about their guy. I felt very strongly about Hillary. I supported her in 2008, but I got behind Barack Obama quickly because I saw there's just so little daylight between them versus the other option. And if, you know, people are Republicans, that's fine as long as they're passionate and they're informed about what they're voting for. But I think the difference between last week and this week is, for instance, you mentioned the darkness of Donald Trump's speech on Thursday night. It was literally midnight in America, according to Donald Trump. It was scary, and it was dark, is dystopian. And last night, first of all, I'm a huge fan of Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey, and he ripped the
roof off
that
place. I wanted him to
pick
her for vice, or her to pick him for vice president. So I've been telling everyone that would hear me for the last 3 months that, but he was amazing.
I would have gone with that. I was so down if Corey had been the pick, but you know why. And I don't know if you've discussed it on the show. There is some thinking about why Cory Booker wasn't picked and why perhaps Sherrod Brown from Ohio wasn't picked, because they have Republican governors, and if they did become vice president, it would take a seat out of the Senate, because it's so narrow that we're trying to retake the Senate. One seat could throw the balance of power out. So if we pick up four Senate seats, but we lose one because of our vice president, John Kasich, who's the governor in Ohio, and Chris Christie, who's the governor in New Jersey, would clearly pick a Republican and would throw the balance away for the Senate. So I would have loved Cory Booker to be the running mate, though. And he was awesome. When he quoted Maya Angelou's poem, I Rise, and he started with, you may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the dirt, but still like dust I rise. And then he kept coming back to that phrase after talking about the English king who would crush our rebellion. Still we rise. And this is our history. Still we rise. I mean, it was just awesome. And I thought, well, that's the night. That's the night. And then Michelle Obama, who just killed it. Can I just read real quick the phrase that killed everyone is what they're talking about all day, because she gave an awesome speech and I just was breathless. And then she said, I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves, and I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn. And because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and all our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be president of the United States.
It gives me pimples again, hearing it again. Oh, my goodness. It was so amazing.
Oh, it was awesome. Both of those speeches, all the speeches last night were uplifting. And that's what I really want in a leader. I want to be uplifted. I think our government is so broad for the most part. I mean, other than going to war with Iraq, which is a horrible, horrible mistake. You know, our government is so broad that it's almost difficult for someone to really do a lot of harm to us, unless maybe you're Donald Trump, who I really think is reckless, and I do believe that. You know what? I could deal with John Kasich. We disagree on so many things, but I think he's a reasonable man. There are Republicans that I can deal with. I think Donald Trump is reckless. And there's a story today. He was at a campaign event yesterday, and he threw a fit at a Virginia hotel because the air conditioning wasn't hot enough. He said, we're not going to pay this bill. We're not – like, this is on stage in front of people. I'm like, if you can't take the heat on a campaign stage, what are you going to do in the White House? So, yeah, I think the difference between last week and this week is just the sense of uplift, of positivity. I really enjoy hearing these great positive speeches.
I agree, and I think the Bernie mess of the is Bernie or bust, and it's really a small contingency of Bernie or bust. There's quite a few people that are really disappointed he didn't make it, but I think the Bernie or bust people is a small part, and I don't think that's going to overshadow. It started to yesterday, had such a turnaround from Corey and Michelle. Tonight I'm going to hope the same thing happens with all the speakers tonight. So it's just an amazing difference of tone, as you said.
It really is.
One last thing we'll finish on. I can't believe, oh God, I could talk to you forever, my friend.
You're awesome. Thanks for having me.
I didn't notice until I read your blog today. I didn't know who that girl, I kept wondering, who is that blonde next to Clinton? And that sounds like a funny joke, and it really isn't, but I was wondering who that
was. I'm going to laugh.
And then I find it's Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood, but I did not know either. She was the daughter of Texas Governor Ann Richards, who I am totally in love with, and who was famously portrayed to rave reviews by actress Holland Taylor, who's now out. Did you ever get to see that one? Did you go back to Broadway to see that at all? Or
I
about
did.
Her
I did. And she was brilliant as Ann Richards. Being from Texas, you know, in 1988, when she gave that big famous speech at the 88 Democratic convention, we loved Ann Richards in Texas. And so I did not know that either. So that's why I had to post that today is, you know, I knew who Cecile Richards was, just like you just said, but I didn't know she was the daughter. So how awesome that these generations connect. And here we are all these years later and her daughter is now. I think Cecile is going to speak tonight. As a matter of fact, she's one of the speakers.
So cool.
Isn't that cool?
We got to turn here in just a second, so we got to have it wrap this up. All of my listeners, they can find the Randy Report or follow you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me every single day at therandyreport.com. That's my blog where I write every single day on LGBT issues pertaining to politics, pop culture, and entertainment. And you can follow me on Twitter at Randy Slavacek, my name with no space. And there's also the Randy Report on Facebook. So you can follow me at all those places and my show here on on Blog Talk Radio. So feel free to check out any of my shows, but especially Left of Straight. Man, Scott, I'm such a fan of your show. You're awesome. So thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. We're going to have you on more often as the campaign progresses and just to find out more. I'd love to have you as a special commentator, my friend. You are just the bomb diggity. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Stay on the line. I want to give a big hand for thank you very much, Randy Slavacek from the Randy Report. We're going to be back in just a couple seconds with the beautiful and lovely Tara Radcliffe. But stay on the line for me, Randy. We'll talk in just a second. And Tara, I'm going to be with you in just a moment. We're going to play off with Matt Van Fossen. Speaking about artists, this artist, Matt Van Fossen, came out on my show the other day. He's an up-and-coming country artist. And I really you need to listen to this guy for a second, Randy. I'll have you when you do the playback on it. But this is Time Ain't What It Used to Be. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Forever to come, and you couldn't watch TV until your homework was done. Look, time ain't what it used to be. And waiting for that first kiss, it took an eternity, just like counting down the days until you finally turned 18.
Yeah.
And we are back. That was the incredible Matt Van Fossen with Tammy, what it used to be. Great up-and-coming country artist. Guys, I'm so excited to have our next guest on today. She's beautiful. She's lovely. She's smart. If you did not meet her on Bravo's fantastic show, Newlyweds, the first year with our good friends Craig Ramsey and Brandon Liberati, she is a classically trained chef. She's a pinup model. She's a sex coach. Just does it all, and I just love her pinup housewife motif she has for her new website, and just exciting to talk to her. She's a ray of sunshine. She came out on the show Newlyweds as bisexual and kind of got a little grief for it, so we want to talk about that a bit, but so much going on for her. Please welcome to the show the amazing Tara Radcliffe. Tara, how are you today?
Thank you so much for having me on air today.
It's
so
my pleasure
to
have you, Kev. We're so excited to have you on our Healing Stigma show because you didn't get a lot of grief for coming out and everything, but I'm so glad that things are going great now, it sounds, right?
I know. It's going wonderful now. You know, at the moment it didn't, but after processing everything, I mean, it was really just the feeling that I got afterwards was just really, what's that word? I can't think of that word. I can't think of it right now.
I can never think of them either. Cathartic,
like
something
amazing,
like that. It could be a whole bunch of things.
It's an amazing feeling. It's very
my
liberating.
Grip on the
there
English language
liberating.
Sometimes just goes away when I'm on the radio, so I understand.
Yeah. It's like,
well, let's talk about
quiet.
It a bit. I mean, I'm so excited. I got introduced to you, our good friend of the show, Brandon Liberati and Craig Ramsey. They're actually a media partner with their Fit and Fab company here. But how fun was it to work with them?
Well, we didn't work with each other during the filming of the show, obviously, but we met when the show was like first come when they first started doing all the advertising for it.
Right,
and
promo.
They are just amazing. I love those two so much. I miss them like crazy. Well,
they love you. They call you
wonderful guys.
Their little sister. They think you're amazing as well. So
it's funny.
I was
isn't
so
it
excited
crazy?
They gave me information. I mean, it's just so great to talk to you.
I know. They are honestly probably like one of the best things that came out of the show is just meeting them, and they're just wonderful. I'm going to see them on Saturday. I'm super excited.
Very cool. Well, let's talk about this whole thing now. You meet Rob. You were both in previous relationships. We talked about another show. Talk about how you met again and what made you guys decide to get your lives. I asked the same thing to Brandon. You guys were on TV for a year, your very first year of marriage. What brought that about?
I know. So we actually met in I used to work for him briefly for like 3 days a year prior to when we actually met in Vegas and when we started our relationship. That's kind of how we knew each other when we bumped into each other in Vegas. And we ended up going out for like a simple dinner the night after we had met and not really thinking anything of it as it being a date or anything. We just thought of it as like networking. And just like halfway through the dinner, I was like, this guy is like so perfect. He's exactly what I want in my life. He has all the qualities that I love. And I just knew that my life was going to change. You know, I knew that I was going to be with him. I had the craziest feeling that he was going to be the man that I'm going to spend my life with. And so, and I was married at the time, unfortunately, and but just wasn't in love. That's a whole long story itself. But just started this amazing relationship with Rob and went through crazy trials and tribulation stuff with it in order to start that relationship, obviously. And then we had a long, like, one-year relationship, got engaged, and then we started the whole process with the show, which was crazy because we're still, like, getting to know one another and getting used to each other's behaviors and everything, and then you throw in, like, a show thing, a production company on top of that, and it just, like, throws you out of whack.
Right.
But it was amazing because I still got to do it with my best friend, and we learned so much from the show, and we really learned so much about each other from the show, and just seeing, like, a different side of one another that we work through, you know, and we really grew from the show, for sure, together as a relationship.
That is awesome. And I remember you say that you're so photogenic and so beautiful. You were actually on another show that just didn't feel right for you before you decided to come on this show, right? And what made this feel a little better to you? What made it a better fit for you?
Well, the other show that I was working on was just a pilot that we were shooting, and it was just based on, like, women in Malibu and the friendship between them and everything. But it just didn't have the right flow. You know, there was constant, like, drama with it, and it just wasn't really for me. And this show was great because I got to be with Rob, you know, something that I had, that I could experience with him and feel like a team with him with it, you know? So it was super exciting to do that. And it was it's different than doing like a show solo, you know?
Right. And then we found on the show that you came from a pretty strict Persian background, and I know you kind of rebelled against it a bit, but what was it like for your family to think that now all of a sudden you're going to go on a reality show with your new husband? What kind of adjustment was for them? I know you guys talk about your relationship now.
Yeah, you know, with my family, with the show and everything, they didn't really understand what I was doing. Like, I told them that I was getting on a show, and they were like, well, like, what kind of show is it, and what are you going to be talking about? And I kept it really brief with them. I didn't really want them to influence me somehow with the show, as far as, like, doing it or not. So I didn't really tell them much. And then I just had them come here and there to do some filming, obviously. And even then, they just really didn't understand the whole concept of the show. They didn't really ask any questions. You know, they don't watch American TV. They watch, like, Persian satellite. So they had no idea what Bravo was or anything like that. But, yeah, they just kind of didn't really get involved with that part of it until the show came out. And then they watched it. And it was a crazy process with that. So...
that's wild. Yeah. And then they kind of, on the show, like, you guys have some trials and tribulations. Yeah, you came out of the studio, you had a friend of yours come over for dinner. And that was a whole, talk about how that kind of came about and what your parents think of that, seeing that movie.
Oh my gosh, that was, that was the worst, because I felt like through my interviews and everything, they didn't really portray my story right. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't say, like, oh, she's bi, you know, she's coming out that she's bi. They just made it sound like I'm attracted to women and we include women in my relationship, you know?
Right.
And that's not how it really is. You know, that's not how our relationship is. It's just I like both men and women. And so the whole hot tub scene that we had on the show, it wasn't portrayed the way I wanted it to be portrayed. You know, it made it sound like I was going to have a threesome with my husband and her. And that wasn't the case at all, you know, and I didn't like how they twisted that. And so, that really sucked, because my girlfriend, which was in the scene with me, I ended up, like, losing my friendship with her over, because she didn't, understand why they made it sound look like that, and she thought it was because of me. So,
oh, you're kidding.
It was, it was just really sucked to, like, lose a friend and deal with something that wasn't portrayed correctly, especially with something that was such a big deal for me, you know? And I was like, it took a lot of courage coming out about being attracted to women and liking that the sensual things about women, and for them to kind of twist it like that, it just, or not portray it correctly, it just kind of, like, it hurt me, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that was
a very brave
move.
That's the world of entertainment for you.
Right. No, it's a very brave move. I mean, it's very hard to talk about anything personal on TV when you talk about your sexuality, which is still considered a taboo by some for some weird reason. And we all know that reality TV is all about the editing. I mean, we saw, what, there was 20 episodes maybe, or 18 episodes of an hour each. How much filming did they actually do? How many hundreds of hours of filming did they do?
Yeah, it was actually 10 episodes, and it was a shitload of hours of filming. like I think total, each couple maybe got like an hour or something, or an hour and a half of, like, actual airtime. You know, like, they spread out throughout the 10 episodes. And, I mean, they would do, like, we would maybe film like 10 to, yeah, about 10 days a month, and they would be full days. You know, like sometimes it'd be like 15-hour days. So
wow.
A lot of the stuff was like cut out for sure. There was a lot of things that weren't put in there, and a lot of beautiful things that I'm shocked that wasn't put in, you know, but
yeah,
it
didn't fit their narrative at the time. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's too bad. Well, you've had condition where you've been very nervous for all of your life. You talk about that on the show and everything. You've always had these anxiety orders, and it caused you not even be able to get on your honeymoon. Talk about how did that start, and what was that like actually? I mean, everyone's just like, so their heart's bleeding for you on there, because this is your honeymoon. You see how much you want to go. You see how much it means to Rob. But talk about where the anxiety started and how that actually all played out in real time.
Yeah. So ever since I was like 16, 17 years old, I started having a panic disorder where I just have like random panic attacks, random anxiety attacks, like every here and there, like every month or so. It was out of control where it just would hit me out of nowhere. And I've unfortunately dealt with this majority of my whole life, you know. And anytime like I'm in a situation where I'm not in control, my anxiety and panic just gets heightened to like an unreal amount. So being in a plane obviously is like the worst fear for me, because I'm not in control, and I'm 35,000 feet in the air, and it just scares me. And ever since that whole like 9/11 thing that happened, my fear of planes even grew to a crazier amount, you know, where I
gotcha.
Just like, sometimes like whenever I watch, like even if I watch like plane scenes in like a movie or something, like I'll feel like my heart palpitate, like it's like that. So the trip, like it was crazy, because I've actually been on planes before that trip that was planned to Italy. And it was always like something that I was really scared of, but I still did it, you know, I was still able to like push through it and everything. But I this experience a lot more dramatic for me was that we had just gotten married, and
right.
I was dealing with like the whole high with that and the stress that was around that and my family and everything. And then on top of that, I was flying to a country that I wasn't familiar with, and the whole trip was planned by Rob's cousin. So I didn't have really any control of the, like where we were going, what we were doing. And that itself like caused a lot of anxiety for me. And then on top of that, you add a production company that was going to be filming us out there. And it's like a whole another level. So just leading up to it, I was like, okay, I could push through this, and I can get on a plane and everything will be fine. But I've like, as soon as we got to like LAX curbside, which they didn't show on the show, we actually ended up going to curbside LAX. I had the worst panic attack. And just start crying, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, Rob, like I can't go, like go without me, like enjoy the trip without me. And he obviously said no, and was really supportive about the whole thing and really understood where my fear was coming from, which is amazing, because a lot of people would not tolerate that. And I just ended up getting canceled because of my fear. I mean, since then I've worked a lot on my anxiety disorder, and I've done so much therapy, I've done so much meditation, and I'm able to like really conquer my fears. And like I'm starting this new thing now where every day I want to do something that kind of scares me a little bit, that gets me out of my comfort zone.
That's awesome.
And it's really, really been helping, and it just shows me that like my fears are not facts, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to kill me, nothing's going to happen, and they're not real. So I'm just trying to like really push myself these days and not let my fears and my fear of having a panic attack hold me back in life.
Congratulations on working to overcome
Thank
that. Now you.
You
talk, I think you talked on the other show, you really are doing meditation almost every day, right? It really helps center
every
you and
day.
Calm you down.
Every day
that
I do it for like 15 minutes. I do like 5 minutes of like a guided meditation. And then I love listening to my horoscope. So I'll listen to my horoscope for like 5 minutes. And then I'll write out my intention every morning for my day and how I want to feel and what I want to do and who I want to be and what I want to manifest in my life. And I write it out every morning, and it's just like my little way of like starting my day and on the right foot, you know, and it's worked so well for me. And I mean, meditation is actually probably the best thing that's ever come into my life.
Now looking back on it, what do you think was probably the worst thing that came out of the show? What do you think was the best thing that came out of the show for you personally?
Well, the worst thing that came out of the show ended up being the best thing that came out of the show, which was crazy. The worst thing was obviously like losing my relationship with my parents when everything had came out about me being bi, and Rob had a lot of crazy things that he had said about my parents that they didn't really appreciate, obviously. But that allowed me to open up this door, you know, of like being able to talk to them about what was happening and my feelings and what I have kept inside me for so many years. And it just forced us to talk about the issues, and ended up being a blessing. So, yeah.
That is awesome. So cool.
I know. Thank you.
And now you're on to all this new stages of stuff. You have Pinup Housewife.
Yes.
That is so cool. I mean, it's a gorgeous website. Talk about
Thank you. The
inspiration for that came.
So, obviously, I love my pinup retro fashion. And I do pinup modeling as well. And I'm a classically trained chef, and I'm a sex coach. So I've kind of combined everything that I love, and I've made this website called Pinup Housewife. And it's just a blog about, it has all my recipes on there. I'm starting like some entertainment tips as well, as far as like how to entertain at home with different themes, you know, like bridal showers or dinner parties, cocktail parties, whatever. Adding all those on there as well. And then the sex coaching part of it, even though I don't practice sex coaching anymore, I've involved sex in my food, where I've created a lot of aphrodisiac recipes, like foods that are going to boost your libido, boost your testosterone levels, and, you know, get you a little aroused. So,
I love that. We're all about the foodies part here. That's so cool.
Exactly.
Talk about what's some of the ingredients that really make a food sexy? Is it the ingredients that's in it? Is it the way it's presented? It's how you eat it? What makes food sexy to you?
Well, it's definitely 50% the actual ingredients, and 50% is the presentation of the food. You know, we always eat with our eyes first. So definitely both of things. But there's so many ingredients that boost testosterone, libido levels, like garlic and chocolate and asparagus and coffees and truffles. I mean, there's so many things that have libido and testosterone boosting elements to them. So I always like to cook with these kind of types of ingredients. I'm actually working on a cookbook now with all aphrodisiac recipes in there. So that's something
that is awesome.
Stay tuned for. I know. So excited
so
about
cool.
it. Yeah.
And you kind of make all, you go through the entire thing. You go through appetizers, salads, entrees, dessert, the whole nine yards.
Exactly. Everything from start to finish. And
oh, we have to have you back when that cookbook comes out. That looks so exciting.
I know. I'm trying to get it out before the end of the year. So I can have it for the holidays and Valentine's Day and stuff. So I'm working hard.
Now,
but there's
I got to ask you, because
on there.
You have, you're gorgeous, you have an amazing body, and people love to cook. People don't understand how people love to cook or love recipes have these amazing bodies, but it's all about balance. How do you balance yourself so you keep looking
actually,
as amazing as you do?
What's great about aphrodisiac recipes is that they're all low in sugar, and it's pretty much like 90% paleo. You're not going to have starchy elements to it. You're not going to have any kind of like bad carbs, like breads or pastas or anything like that. So all that's like pretty much cut out. So the whole stuff with my aphrodisiac things is very, very healthy for you. You know, everything's going to get you in shape and actually have you lose weight. So that's like amazing. I love that. And obviously I always like crave like the sweets and everything as well, but I always try to find like healthy ways of making something that's not so healthy. You know, like I with like my pasta dishes, I always like to use like gluten-free, like almond flour types of pastas, or you know, like with my sandwiches, I always have them like lettuce wraps instead of like using the buns. It's just like kind of finding like healthier ways of eating your favorite foods.
That is so cool. Now, do you work out? Thanks. Do you do yoga now that you're meditating, or how do you keep yourself so fit?
I dance. I love burlesque, so I do that at home all the time. It's my little thing. So I do like, you know, like 30 minutes to an hour of dancing, like 3-4 times a week. And I just do it at home in front of the mirror, and I have fun. And like I'm totally.
I love it. Now tell me you got a pole. Uh-huh. Tell me you brought a pole in the house.
Oh,
I love when women bring
a
pole in the house.
I know. I have been begging Rob for a pole for so long, and I hope he's listening to this right now because I really want one.
That would be a wonderful anniversary or birthday present right there for both of you.
We have this one room in the house that is so perfect for it, too. So I'm hoping we can get that in here soon because I love dancing on the pole. So much fun.
That is so cool. Now, do you like the whole part of the modeling and the pinup stuff? I mean, it looks like it's a lot of work to get in that makeup and get that hair just right. Do you like the whole process?
I'm obsessed with the whole process. And I dress like that every day, pretty much. You know, I kind of always have, like, this pinup retro vibe to me on a daily basis.
Gotta live the brand. I love it.
it's a lifestyle for me, you know. It's something that I'm really into, and I just love the way women dress in the 50s and 60s and how sexy and elegant they were at the same time, and the way they carry themselves, and it's just something that has stuck with me, and it's something that I like to implement in my life on a daily basis because it just makes me feel good, and it makes me feel sexy and beautiful and confident, which I love. So obviously I've done from that, I've got into pinup modeling because it's just adding, like, it's like modeling my favorite, you know. It's great.
Right.
So I do that a lot, but it's a long process when I do, like, get ready for photo shoots for sure. It's like a 2-hour hair and makeup thing, and it's definitely not an everyday look to do, like, the crazy pinup hair, but
had some amazing photographs taken of you, and it's so cool. And you have a modeling gig coming up, don't you? Talk about that a second. What can you say about that?
I know. It's for Pinup Girl Clothing, and it's tomorrow, so I'm super excited about that. It's the first time I'm going to be doing a photo shoot with them. And they're a designer that I love, and I wear their things almost on a daily basis. So it's like, it's so exciting to be working with a company that I'm so obsessed with, you know. I'm almost more excited about this than I was about being on the show. You know, I'm like, oh,
that's
I can't
great.
Wait for tomorrow. I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight.
I'm so excited for you. So what
Thank
do you have any other projects coming up on TV? We got to see your face on TV again.
I'm working on it. I'm actually going to be filming a pilot soon to do my own show and hopefully can see it out. Thank you. We just started talking about it. So I'm not going to be talking about the concept yet, but it's going to be amazing. So
one of those LA things, everything's secret until it gets leaked to the press somehow. But yeah.
Exactly,
you never want to be the leaker, but you want it to get leaked out, so eventually.
Exactly. Let the concept first get like buttoned up a little bit and smoothed out a little bit, and then, you know. But
now, how's Rob doing? Rob has a very busy career. Does he secretly miss the cameras at all, or is he totally happy that it's all done?
You know, when the show came out, he wasn't. He was so, I guess, he wasn't so mad, but he just hated the way that he was portrayed on the show. And I can tell that it was something that he never wanted to get into again. You know, he's like, well, real estate and my books are the things that make me happy, and he wants to focus on those. But I'm sure if the right show came along and it was something that fit what he wanted to, portray in life, then I'm sure you would do it again. You know, we've both learned a lot from this
process.
Books.
He's very successful in his business. He's written two books, so he hasn't been out in the public eye. So that's, I'm sure if he found the right project, I think it'd be great for him. He's very photogenic, and you guys, you can tell how much that you loved each other, and I think you guys were very personable and just were very popped on screen. I think all the couples this year were pretty amazing on this year's show for Bravo.
Yeah, for sure. It's great. I really love everybody. So.
Well, what's your dream job? Is there something that hasn't happened that you're trying to meditate on and kind of make happen? Is there anything coming up that we need to know about?
I'm actually living my dream right now. You know, like
I love
feel
that.
Like I'm doing. Yeah, I'm doing everything that I love, and I am building up to my dream career. You know, and that's obviously the new show. Hopefully that will get picked up, but. That's my ultimate goal, but I'm just living life right now. I have a beautiful life. I have a beautiful home. I'm doing what I love with the pinup modeling, and I cook, and I love entertaining, and I'm implementing all these things that I love into my life and making a career out of it, you know? And so it's like every day is like a dream for me. I'm like, I pinch myself. It feels surreal, you know?
That is great.
Wow.
And you're back and the family supporting you 100%. And you guys, do you and Rob get to see the family a lot together, or do you guys find time?
It's amazing because Rob and my parents had a horrible relationship throughout the show and after the show. And obviously because of things got us to start talking about things and forcing us to talking about the elephant in the room kind of situations, you know, were able to like hash things out and now are like having a wonderful, beautiful relationship together. And my mom calls him and he calls her and she leaves like messages for him on his voicemail. I'm like, you call him more than you call me now, which is so crazy.
I love that. That is so awesome.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And they just have such a nice relationship now. And they laugh and they have a good time and there's no more like weirdness or hostility around or this like weird tension around and everything just feels so good. And it just feels so right. Like it's weird, you know.
Have you had a chance to get away for a mini honeymoon since you missed the big honeymoon? Are you guys planning a new event?
No, you know, we haven't planned anything yet. We take little mini trips here and there, but we don't consider it honeymoons, you know. I want our honeymoon to be big. He's wanting to go to Thailand really bad. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
I know. But that's like a big trip for me. It's like a lot.
That would be a huge trip for you, but that's a cool foodie adventure too. Both.
Oh,
wow.
I know. I mean, it would be freaking magical to go over there. But honestly, I would rather go to Italy and make that our honeymoon. You know, like we got to make that happen again.
Right. Yeah, it just makes it come full circle. It makes you feel like you complete something because it's almost like a little misadventure in your book, right?
Exactly. Like I feel like I have to go out there. I have to do this in my life. It's definitely on my bucket list. And I want it to be our honeymoon because that was what we missed out on. And the thing for me is that I have to like start flying more in order to get used to it. Like I don't fly as often as I should, and I try to avoid planes as much as possible. But I feel like if I start flying more and even like short trips, you know, just to like get used to it again, and then I can start like planning more like long trips. But
that would be great. We got to see you in a pinup outfit in the vineyards of Nice or something like that.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
Dude, those pictures would be phenomenal.
Oh, my goodness. It would be
amazing. So good.
Well, Tara, thank you so much for coming on the show. We got to have
you
back when the cookbook comes. Tell everyone your website address and your social media, how they can follow you, because you have so much interesting things going on.
You can go to pinuphousewife.com, and you can also follow me on Instagram at Tara_Radcliffe. And I'm also on Snapchat, so you can follow me on there, which is Modern Girl Retro Soul, but it's spelled MODGRL Retro Soul.
You guys are Radcliffe with the E on the end, too, so I want to remember to put the E on the end.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, my dear. You're
thank
an inspiration
you
so to so many people, and you've
oh,
overcome so much.
Scott.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad
oh,
we got
I'm,
to meet.
Thank you. I know. I'm so happy I met you, and I'm so impressed by your show and what you guys stand for, and meeting you, it has been amazing. So.
Well,
really
thank you. When I get out to L.A. in a couple
coffee.
Months, we are going to have a cocktail or two or three
oh,
bottles of wine, whatever happens
definitely.
First.
We'll bring out the bottles. We'll bring out the bottles.
There you go. All right, my dear, stay on the line
right,
for
Stevie.
Us, guys. That's
thank
the amazing
you.
Tara Radcliffe. We're going to take a quick break and come back and finish up the show. Of course, in honor of our beautiful Tara Radcliffe, we'll play a little Femme Fatale by Preston Wiggins. You've been listening
yay.
To the Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Standing in the crowded room, you're looking for something new. It's at that moment that you see her, all the women want to be her. It's true, she's got that mysterious allure, too sexy to ignore. Say no, but we're just one look, you turn to stone. She's a femme fatale. She'll only bring you half, half, half. You know she'll make you fall. It's in her voice, it's in her eyes. One look, you're hypnotized. From her, got you wrapped around her. It's liaison dangereux. She uses all her charms to seduce. And she leaves you while you sleep, left with only her scent on your sheet. Why are you with this kind of girl? You'll never get into her world. She's a
Preston Wiggins with Femme Fatale. Guys, I had such fun on the show today. Thank you so much to Randy Slovacek from The Randy Report and the gorgeous Tara Radcliffe from Newlyweds on Bravo TV. So much fun today. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you had a good time. We'll be back here next Monday and Tuesday for two brand new Left of Straight shows, more celebrity guests and fun chat. Tomorrow is our Standing on the Soapbox, and it's going to be a little different. I'm actually going to a town hall discussion in Youngstown, Ohio, where I'm from here, Northeast Ohio, and we're going to do the state of LGBT in Northeast Ohio. And I think I'm going to carry that live, so we're going to be doing that for our show tomorrow for Standing on the Soapbox. Then on Thursday, be sure to tune in to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, where we'll have the amazing comic Samson on. So thanks for tuning in. Please, if you have not downloaded the app yet, go to your app store on your iPhone or your Android and go on the search engine to Left of Straight Radio in your app store, and our app will come up. Download it. It is a free app. You can listen to every single show. So proud to have four LGBT shows 4 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here on blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Left of Straight. That's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8. Follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/leftofstraightshow for our show page, or Facebook Scott Fullerton, and friend me over there. I'd love to make new friends there. But thanks for tuning in. We're going to have another couple great shows coming up this week and more starting again on Monday. Thanks so much for being part of Left of Straight Show. We are out of here, and we'll talk to you next week.